If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris, KBOI News Time, 8:39. And a developing story this morning. It's a developing story, but it's a story that, you know, like they say, 50 years in the making. This one's been 12 years in the making.
Okay.
I mean, he's been getting out of prison on weekend leaves and visiting his mother. I guess it's up to 17 days a month.
Yeah.
Now.
John Hinckley Jr.
John Hinckley Jr.
The guy we're talking about first became prominent 35 years ago when he attempted to assassinate President Reagan and shot four people, including Reagan. One of those guys, James Brady, you know, which and that led to the Brady Bill.
Yeah, James Brady. When James Brady died, he was shot in the head by Hinckley. Hinckley was charged with murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was. And again, he was found
not guilty by
reason of insanity because he was pretty messed up. But they waited until 33 years later, and he still died from his original injuries.
Yeah. The man who tried to kill Reagan set to go free. And I showed you a picture of where he's staying in a gated community on a golf course.
And yet, as you said, they've got a picture of his mom's house.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Hey, here's what it looks like. Go see him if you want.
Yeah. After a judge declared this morning, to allow would-be assassin John Hinckley Jr. to live with his mother full-time.
In Colonial Williamsburg.
Yep. Hinckley is set to begin his convalescent leave August 5th, according to U.S. District Judge Paul Friedman's order. Friedman wrote, and I'm going to ask you a question here.
All right.
Friedman wrote that all of the experts and treatment providers who testified during the hearing agreed that Hinckley's issues, which were major depression and psychotic disorder, were in full and sustained remission and have been for more than 20 years.
Okay.
Mr. Hinckley is clinically ready for full-time convalescent leave.
However,
yeah,
this is a tad unprecedented because
he tried to kill the president.
Nobody who ever shot a president ever, I think, got out of a jail before.
Yeah. So is there no longer any punitive jail time? Is it just when you're rehabilitated?
Well,
I mean, he killed one man trying to kill another.
True. Well, he shot four people. He shot four people. So at the time, 35 years ago, he was dangerous. Now, first of all, 35 years have gone by. But as you say, he's been spending weekends outside the hospital.
It's been 17 days a month.
Right. So he's not technically, I guess, incarcerated anymore anyway.
No. Fired six shots, as you said, hitting four people, including Reagan, who was wounded by a ricochet, basically a bullet bounced off the limo. Press Secretary James Brady was shot in the right side of the head. And was never the same.
No, he was handicapped for the rest of his life.
Yeah, when he died in August of 2014, Brady's death was ruled a homicide.
And then there was the Secret Service agent and also a Washington policeman. His name was Delahanty?
Delahanty, yeah. Hinckley was arrested at the scene, was later found not guilty. So this is the reason he can get out, by reason of mental insanity. Hinckley had allegedly tried to kill Reagan in order to gain the affection of Hollywood starlet Jodie Foster.
Which, as we now know, was
convoluted.
Well, it was an exercise in futility.
Yeah, didn't happen. Hinckley's release from Washington's St. Elizabeth Hospital has been more than 10 years in the making. In late 2003, the judge allowed Hinckley to begin leaving the hospital for day visits. I remember the pictures then they showed him walking down the sidewalk.
Right.
In 2006, Hinckley began visiting his parents' home in Williamsburg, Virginia. Nice place. For three night stretches. The time has increased over the years so that for more than the last year, he's been allowed to spend 17 days a month at the home, which is in a gated community and overlooks a golf course.
It's a large, beautiful house and looks like a mansion, or as they call that in Virginia, a small place.
Yeah, just my summer home. While outside the hospital, Hinckley has to comply with a series of restrictions. A number of those will continue now that he will be living full-time in the community. He will have to attend individual and group therapy sessions, is barred from talking to the media. So hang up the phone, Chris. He can drive, but there are restrictions on how far he can travel, and the Secret Service will also periodically follow him.
That's right. 1-800-JOHN-HINCKLEY wasn't working anymore.
And nobody answered?
No.
Despite the restrictions, life in Williamsburg will be busy for Hinckley. According to court records and testimony at a recent court hearing on the issue, he has spent time volunteering at a church as well as a local mental hospital. He has attended meetings for people living with mental illness, talks at a local art museum, and concerts. His hobbies include painting and playing the guitar. Does this sound like a prisoner to you?
Not as such.
And he has recently developed an interest in photography. He's also indicated he'd like to get a full-time job and at one point went to Starbucks and Subway to talk about getting a job there.
Well, there are plenty of locations.
So yeah. Sure. Speaking on business, listen each Tuesday and Thursday between 7 and 8 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. right here on KBOI, sponsored by Zions Bank. We haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Here's Ron O'Brien. All right, thanks, Rick. We are back. More breaking news on this Wednesday morning. Prosecutors are dropping charges now, Chris, against the three remaining Baltimore police officers who were facing trial in connection with the death of Freddie Gray.
Because the previous one was acquitted.
Yeah, three of six had already been acquitted.
Right.
Six officers were charged in the April 2015 death of Gray, a 25-year-old, who sustained a neck injury while in police custody. Three of them had been acquitted, as we said. A pretrial hearing for Officer Garrett Miller was set for today. Trials for Officers Alicia White and William Porter, by the way, both black, had been scheduled for the fall. Baltimore Chief Deputy State Attorney Michael Schatzow made the request to drop charges against them in court today. Three officers were acquitted earlier. Edward Nero, a bike officer involved in the initial police encounter with Gray. Cesar Goodson, or Cesar, who drove the van that transported Gray. And Lieutenant Brian Rice, the highest-ranking officer charged in connection with Gray's death.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two things come to mind. First of all, you've got three people who have already been acquitted.
Correct.
And these were people who were handling or manhandling, however you want to put it, Freddie Gray when he, you know, and they say neck injury. Apparently his neck or back was broken and he was paralyzed and then died. Just like that.
Well, and we looked at this film a lot, the video of them putting him in the...
Well, they dragged him.
Yeah, and he couldn't move his feet.
No.
I mean, he had no movement in his legs at all.
He may have been unconscious at the time, but regardless of whether he was, even if he had been conscious, apparently he wouldn't have been able to move.
Yeah.
So they more or less have decided that that was just an unfortunate circumstance, but nobody meant to break his neck. Nobody meant to kill him. So they're not going to, they're just going to let the last three kind of slide on what the first three verdicts were then.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is that this is not going to be
well received
in Baltimore at all.
No. Nope.
Because I think what most people who have been protesting this for some time figure is that somebody broke his neck.
His neck was broken somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The death of Gray, who was a black man, ignited a wave of protests. Debate surged nationwide over whether police use excessive force, particularly against African Americans. One of the first recent major ones. The announcement that charges against the three officers would be dropped comes more than a year after Baltimore State's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, announced the officers would be charged. Her statements drew praise from some, who admired how swiftly she took on the case, and criticism for others who said there was no evidence. And so now,
well,
they're free.
Okay. There was no evidence of any particular wrongdoing. The only thing they had was a guy whose neck and or back was broken, and he was also dead.
Yeah, and the,
and he was alive when they got there.
Yeah, it was a weird thing because the officer who drove the van was accused of, you know, starting and stopping and turning corners too fast.
Well, yeah, I was going to say taking corners too fast. Yeah. So,
which may or may not have contributed to his broken neck.
Who knows?
Yeah. So anyway, breaking news this morning.
Back to the
everybody acquitted.
Back to the Hinckley thing, just briefly here. The disgruntled vet who writes in from time to time wrote in to say, since he's no longer crazy, can they charge and try him? That's an interesting question. But the answer is
double
no.
Double jeopardy, right?
It's not double jeopardy necessarily even. It's because when he was tried the first time, they found that he was insane at the time that he shot at Reagan.
True.
Now, he may not be insane anymore, but that doesn't mean he wasn't insane when he shot Reagan. So even though he's better, he was sick at the time, was not in control of his faculties. You know, like a bad principal, and he was found therefore not guilty, except that he had to spend 35 years in a mental hospital.
How do you feel about this?
Well, there are some crimes for which I just assumed people would never get out of prison or custody, whatever you want to say. Shooting a sitting president was definitely one of those.
Agree with you. It's been coming for a long time now. Time to take a news break. It's 8:56. After an update, both nationally and locally, we'll be back with more of Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Donald Trump having a news conference. I tell you what, he's pretty smart. As with his handling of the media, he's just ripping.
You're positive it hasn't just been luck.
The DNC and President Clinton, who spoke last night.
Former President Clinton.
Former President Clinton, who is still called President Clinton.
Right.
But this morning he is holding a news conference reacting to President Clinton's address, and he's addressing several issues, including the minimum wage, and says he hopes Russia finds Clinton's missing emails and thinks the U.S. and Russia should team together and knock out ISIS, which brings up a question. The Democrats have not mentioned ISIS at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only kind of sort of barely touched on terrorism.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make this
the domestic part.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to make it more of a race about domestic and economic policy and what can we do for America? Because essentially, all Trump wants to do is he talks about foreign policy, but all he wants to do is try to eliminate everybody else who is an American from any consideration whatsoever and just go with America.
Yeah,
not that there aren't plenty of people who would like to do exactly that.
Yeah. But they keep talking about Trump not having any money, this, that, the other thing. And all you see on TV.
You mean money that other people have raised for
him?
Yeah. Okay.
Hillary Clinton has not had a news conference since February. Is that right? I think it's February.
Seems to have worked.
You think she's in a good position right now?
She is the Democratic nominee for president.
Okay. Yeah, so, I got that. No, she's in a good position there.
That part worked.
But when the parties are out,
both of them.
Nobody likes either one.
And this is going to sound cynical, and it's meant to. But both of them, I think, would be smart to just appear in public as sporadically as possible until the election. Because generally, either one
you're going to see Trump.
Here's what I want to know though: Do either one of these people when they meet, a group in person, do either one of them get more popular, or do they get more popular just by hanging out and letting other people make up stories about them?
Trump got a bounce off the Republican convention.
Okay.
A pretty big one, actually. 12 points. 10, 12 points, depending on which poll.
You poll people who don't have cable, a lot of them watched it.
Yeah. Last night, my watching of America's Got Talent was interrupted repeatedly.
By the DNC.
By the DNC. Bill Clinton's wife, of course, now the official Democratic nominee, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Less than glowing treatment of facts. Here's the fact checker from USA Today.
Okay.
Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean claimed that Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's whole health care plan was to replace the Affordable Care Act with, quote, something so much better. And nobody knows what that is.
Yeah.
In fact, Trump has released a 7-point health care plan.
Right.
So that was wrong. Bill Clinton said the United States approval rating soared 20 percentage points during the time that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Under analysis of the U.S.'s global ratings, there was no such bump. Former Attorney General Eric Holder said 1 in 3 black men will be incarcerated in their lifetimes. An outdated projection based on the incarceration rate for black males as of 2001. The rate has dramatically declined since then.
Has it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bill Clinton said that Arkansas schools went from worst when he started as governor to one of two most improved, and gave Hillary Clinton much of the credit. The record is mixed. An expert did say in 1992 that the state had made progress, but the New York Times reports that the state was still near the bottom in most national ratings.
I mean, when you've got nowhere to go but up, sure, there's bound to be a little bit of progress.
Yeah. Senator Barbara Boxer repeated a convention talking point claiming that Trump had said wages are too high. He was talking about a $15 minimum wage being too high.
Mm-hmm.
And he has referred to that this morning. Dean said that GOP vice presidential candidate Mike Pence voted to end Medicare as we know it. Pence did vote for a budget plan that called for a major change to Medicare.
However,
it would have retained health insurance system for seniors.
Now, there's a job. And I think if you really want job security for the rest of your life, get yourself a career in fact checking.
Yeah.
Because you'll never have, there will not be one single political speech after which you will have nothing to do.
Yeah. Eugene Kiley from factcheck.org.
Politico, they do it too. And there are a bunch of them that go through and they say, well, this was technically true, but not really.
Back in the day.
Which others of us call a lie.
Back in the day, you used to be able to get away with that.
Yeah.
Not now. You better have your facts checked.
Yeah.
Well,
Well, we have information technology now.
Yeah.
Meaning that people, have more information.
It's having an argument.
A lot of it isn't true, but at least you can, if you're good, you can figure out what is.
Yeah. Talking with somebody about how many 100-degree days there were in June this year. They said we had 10 in a row. I'm going, no way. And so, what did I do?
You looked it up.
I went to the computer, looked it up. There were four.
Four in a row.
No, three in a row, four in
four,
the whole month.
Four altogether.
Yeah.
All right.
So, the 8th, 27th, 28th, and 29th.
Maybe they counted when they took an afternoon nap, and when they woke up, it was a new day.
Yeah. All right. We do have a phone call. We can go to the phones now because, we're allowed to do that. John and Napa hanging on. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I got a lot of work to do, so I thought I'd call in early.
Sure.
Hey, I wasn't going to watch the DNC convention at all. Just ignore it. But the comedy was so hilarious. I thought I had to watch at least one night of it, and it was just great to see that kind of ridiculousness going on. As Silverman said, everybody was being, the whole thing was ridiculous.
Sarah Silverman,
one of the things I wanted to,
night before last, she just made the comment. She told all the Bernie Sanders supporters that refused to give up that they were being silly.
Right. That was
ridiculous.
Hilarious.
She said ridiculous, yeah.
Well, the mindset of most Democrats, I don't know if they're liberals or how you define them. Everybody wants to avoid being defined or being pigeonholed, and I would throw a lot of Republicans in there too. Their mindset is, as far as Donald Trump goes, and isn't using money, he doesn't have any money. Their mindset is that you don't have any money unless you can take it from somebody else. And
how backwards
thinking is that?
Yeah, there's some truth there.
Pocahontas said that Donald Trump has never done anything. I mean, she made a statement that he's not done anything for anybody but himself. And that's not true either. There is a list a mile long of the things that Donald, and I don't even like the guy that well. I'm just saying, I've seen what he's done. I've seen how his kids talk about him. I've seen how his employees talk about him. And you don't get there. You don't get those kinds of people talking about you positively with not one negative. I haven't seen anybody
They're not going to put negatives on during the convention.
Somebody should. Somebody should be able to, like the Democratic Party should be able to present somebody to put a negative on.
They have talked to contractors who've done business with him, and there are a lot of those that aren't exactly pleased.
And who was the mayor of Atlantic City who said that he left them holding the bank for a lot? And what's his name from Texas? Who refused to endorse
him. Yeah, Ted Cruz. Exactly. Yeah,
there have been some people who have spoken out against Trump.
Well, I've been looking for it. I haven't seen too much of it. I mean, little snips here and there. You think that'd be front page stuff if it was significant, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And it's gonna be interesting. Do you think we should see more? Like Chris asked this question earlier. Mm-hmm. Do you think we should see more or less of the candidates in the next few months?
Of either one of, or anybody.
In either one. Both.
I don't know. I think do as much as you can. Get your game plan out there. That was another thing. You know, they're saying Donald Trump doesn't have a game plan. Well, he does. It's very clearly. One of the things is enforce the laws that are already on the books. You don't have to be, groundbreaking new stuff to build a wall and do all that kind of stuff. If you just follow the laws that's already on the books, and if that man can do that, you know, as opposed to the DNC who refuses to enforce the law, we're going to be miles ahead.
All right, good stuff. KBOI
Thanks,
News
guys.
Time, 9:17. Thanks, John. Welcome back. KBOI News Time, 9:23. Paul, Jay, and Chris, Idaho Talks Live. KBOI Rewards Code, referring back to John Hinckley. Insanity, I-N-S-A-N-I-T-Y. Insanity. I-N-S-A-N-I-T-Y. I think that's right.
Okay.
Might be leaving some letters out, but hey.
Yeah. Regardless of what we just said, spell the word insanity.
Yeah. Spell the word insanity and win.
Instant message here from Bruce of Nampa, who says, Bill Clinton, lots he didn't and could not say. For example, he and Hillary conducted an evaluation of the Arkansas public school teachers with the aim of culling the bad ones and keeping the good ones. The results were so bad that they abandoned the effort because, as pundits opined at the time, it would have been a disaster for the school system and for them politically. Apparently their findings would have indicated that they would have had to fire like 88% of the teachers in Arkansas.
Yeah. Let's go to Rich in Boise. Rich.
Well, I was going to ask Chris a question, but I came up with the answer, I guess. So, since he didn't do any fact-checking on the Republican convention, you're going to double down on the Democrat convention to make up for it. Is that how that works?
Oh, I wasn't here for the Republican convention.
Yeah, that's why I addressed it to Chris. Did that guy just say that he's never heard any bad things about Trump?
I know.
But here's the deal on Trump. Trump doesn't have any plans. I mean, it's not a plan to say you're going to build a wall if you can't give a reasonable explanation how you're going to pay for it. Mexico's not going to pay for it.
Nope.
His health care plan is that same old tired plan, tort reform, letting insurance be sold between states. They won't even give a number. And they've been talking about this plan for 10 years. They won't even give a number of how many people will be insured by it, because instead of 20 million, it'll be like 500,000. but they won't even give out that number. That's not a plan. A plan isn't saying, oh, I'm going to make health care better. That is not a plan.
He has a seven-point plan, and it's a plan to them.
Yeah, have you looked at it?
I have not.
I have, and it's just not a plan. It's kind of an outline, an idea, but it's a long ways from a plan.
Bullet points.
You can't say he has a plan to build a wall by saying Mexico is going to pay for it. I mean, those are just kind of fanciful ideas. You know, the guy also said all he had to do is enforce the laws. Well, how's he going to do that? How's he going to enforce the law? How's he going to deport 4 million people? He's not. He can't do it. It would destroy our economy. So, I mean, he has these grandiose ideas, but, I guess you could say he has a plan, but a plan should have some details, like how you're going to accomplish it and maybe how you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, okay, good stuff, Rich. We're up against a hard break. It's 9:26.
KBOY News Time, 9:37, Idaho Talks Live. Donald Trump has been having...
been speaking now for about a half an hour.
Yeah, he's been having a press conference in Florida. He's actually asking or answering questions, it's not a prepared speech. He says that his campaign soon will be publishing a list of countries from which immigrants will need to undergo extreme vetting before entering the United States. He says, we have people coming into this country with very evil intentions. He says, we cannot let those people come in. He's been hard to pin down, apparently, recently on his immigration plan, which he initially framed as a temporary ban on Muslims from entering the United States. Now he's saying that people from any country that has been compromised by terrorism would be subject to tougher screening measures. And, of course, that could mean France.
Yes.
You'll be screened coming to the U.S. from France, because so many people in France have turned out lately to be terrorists.
Yeah, that's true. And it's pretty interesting. He's just called Obama the most ignorant president in our history.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's
he did go to Harvard, so I don't know. It's just,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, saying that. So you would have to pass a vetting process.
Mm-hmm.
To arrive from unnamed countries.
I never know exactly what the vetting process is. Okay, they can look in your background and see, you know, with whom you have association.
Yeah.
We do that anyway. We check backgrounds. The FBI does that. They want to know, you know, with whom you've been associating. Have you ever been accused of any kind of terrorism, of any kind of radicalism before? And if so, the answer would be no. You do not get a free pass into the U.S.
Right.
However, since he doesn't have the list of the countries yet, I mean, how many countries have experienced at least one terrorist act at some point? Lots.
Most.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, how about just stopping all the international flights?
Well, you know, and from the countries he's going to go to religions. Muslims.
Mm-hmm. Well, you start with countries that have a Muslim government where they do have an official state religion, and it is Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess to him that makes perfect sense, which I'm guessing to a lot of people it makes perfect sense. Helena Boise says the economy stinks. Trump will fix it. That's why I will vote for him. No, I don't have a plan on how he will fix it. Not everyone will be happy with everything he does, but the economy will grow in the right way. Many presidential candidates through this country's history have not been popular, or they've been scary before they were elected. Teddy Roosevelt, for one, and I don't think FDR was well-liked by everyone. There was probably a lot of wrangling back in the early days of the USA. George Washington, now there, was an honorable man. However,
since then, we've gone downhill.
However, as somebody pointed out, still a slave owner.
Yeah, well, in those days, wasn't everyone.
Yeah.
Let's go to Doug in Twin Falls. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this
good,
morning?
Good, good.
I think you're doing a great job. KBOI does a good job. got a couple things. I think Tanner Vallejo should be on the list for preseason. Boise State's going to go 12-0, but I am getting back to politics.
No, let me say something first. I like the way you think. Okay go ahead.
It's sad to think that these two candidates are the best we have, but to my knowledge, has either one of them, because I haven't seen it or heard it, has either one of them addressed how they're going to take care of the national debt? Because in my opinion, our economy will not grow until the national debt is really taken care of.
Has not been mentioned by either candidate.
One of them said he was going to do great things. I'm trying to remember which one.
Okay.
It was Trump.
Us three can sit here and say the same thing, but
yeah.
What plan of attack is there to do such a thing? I know at one time Trump agreed with the 1 cent tax going to pay the national debt in 3 to 5 years, it'll be paid. It's a start, I guess, but anyway, but they're both really good at mudslinging. So,
yeah. Yeah, hopefully we'll get by that and get to the issues. That would be nice.
That would be great, Paul J. All right, is Boise going 12-0?
Yeah, I think they are. You told me they were, so I believe you.
Well, I hope so.
I've seen it.
Have a great day, gentlemen.
Thanks, Doug. I like the way guys from Twin Falls think, don't you? Big thanks.
You betcha. Let's see. Wendy in Meridian says, please stop putting brain-dead Rich on the air. He is a total waste of skin. No, I better not read that one. That's rude.
Don't read that one.
Okay. Let's see. What else?
Let's go to Steve and Boise Chris looks.
Gee whiz, most of them say that, so I'm going to have to erase some of them.
Steve.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
You know, Rich wants to know how we're going to pay for things. Well, we just went through a president, almost 8 years now, that's increased the debt by $10 trillion. We don't have to pay for things. We just pass that on to the next generation.
I always get in trouble with, what is it, the national debt? What's the other number I get in trouble with?
The budget deficit.
Budget deficit.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can say one thing, but if that debt continues to grow, sure, you can have a deficit in your budget and decrease it. But all that is a numbers game. And that's what's happened over the last 8 years. All of our numbers have changed. They've taken the standard economic numbers we used to use, and they've changed them, manipulated them. And, I mean, anybody can do that if you know what you're doing. Statistics don't lie. It's the liars that use statistics.
Is it like those people who say 40 is the new 30?
Exactly.
Those 40-year-olds.
All we have to do to get this economy going, and there's what's called the pent-up demand. And most people, you know, if you're on welfare and you're just subsiding and getting by, you're not spending a whole lot on recreation and some other needed items or wanted items, shall we say. And I think there's a lot of that demand, but somewhere you've got to stop this insane deficit spending.
No question.
You can't keep spending the next generation's money. At some point, you have to pay for what you use.
And the next generation now is saying they don't have jobs, so how are they going to pay it?
Well, and that's exactly right. And, you know, everybody's getting by here because we've got all this money flowing through, but what you don't realize is that money is no longer worth what it used to be. And that's been the greatest cause of national failures is inflation. And, you know, people don't understand the total of economics. There's microeconomics and there's macroeconomics. And, you know, you see the big picture and then you see your own little picture. And everybody, as long as they're focused on their own little picture and they're doing okay, they don't really see the big picture. Well, the big picture is that $20 trillion and the $100 trillion in unfunded mandates for retirement of public employees and whatnot is going to come due one of these days, and then they're going to start seeing it. And the only way to stop that is inflation.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Good call, Steve. We need to take a break here, Chris. It's 9:45. All right. We are back. KBOI News Time, 9:49. Paul, Jane, Chris.
Jeff in Boise wrote in to say, if you could, please have your previous caller verify who Pocahontas is.
Yeah, I didn't recall understand that either.
Seeing her give a speech. I would imagine it was a joke, which is actually a racial slur. It is. That's what Trump. That's how Trump refers to Elizabeth Warren
as Pocahontas.
She's I think Cherokee.
One eighth.
I don't know. She's probably more than that, but that's the reason he calls her Pocahontas. And yes, in fact, that would qualify as a racial slur.
Yeah, would.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know what he was talking about. Mm. Let's go to Kevin in Napa. Kevin, good morning.
Okay, well, I need to respond to your last caller. First of all, Obama has not added $10 trillion to the debt, all right?
Yeah, I don't discuss the deficit or the debt anymore.
Well,
people always yelling at me.
Well, he's cut the deficit massively, but the thing that people need to understand is, all right, when a new president comes in on January 20th, all right, the budget has already been written by the previous president through, I believe, it's September, okay?
Right.
So, first of all, you need to recognize that, and that is a absolute fact, all right? So, Obama has not added $10 trillion to the debt. And beyond that, if you really want to ask yourselves why the economy isn't doing as well as it should be doing, all right, it's because of supply-side economic theory, okay? The top 1% and even more so the top 0.1% of earners have reaped virtually the entire economic gains that our country has seen.
85%.
Right. So, you know, if you really want to argue about whether it's a Democratic issue or a Republican issue, the Republicans seem to constantly want to double down on supply-side economics, which has done nothing but sequester trillions of dollars out of our economy. All right? These billionaires, these multimillionaires and billionaires are sending money into overseas bank accounts where it does absolutely nothing to stimulate the economy. You know what? If you give the average American, the guy who's living from paycheck to paycheck, you give that guy more money in his pocket, he's going to spend it. He's going to spend 100% of it. And that is how you generate economic activity, period, plain and simple. And anyone who wants to argue that is just ignoring the way economics works. It's
all right.
Ignoring the way a capitalistic society works. If you don't have the average citizen, if the average citizen basically has at best as much as they had in the mid-80s, and actually a lot of people after inflation have less money to spend than they did before trickle-down economics. It's a totally flawed policy. It's an absolutely failed policy. We've tried it for 4 decades, and it is ridiculous. And
right.
That is why.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah, we.
Well, it's kind of what got Reagan elected.
Yeah.
Because people said, yeah, I mean, it's as far as they were concerned, it was only fair that you should be able to make as much money as you were able to figure out how to make.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yep.
And then afterward, you would be the one, since, you know, the cream would rise to the top, the smart people would have all the money, and the smart people would know enough to create jobs for everybody else. Yeah. And make this a utopian society.
Look good on paper.
And I suppose it could happen, but it hasn't yet.
No. And it's had some time to do it. All right. Steve, yeah,
36 years.
Steve, you got 1 minute.
Okay, how you doing?
Good, one minute.
That last caller's got to get his facts. You know, when Obama took over, there was $9 trillion in debt. He made a speech in 2008 that said it was ludicrous and ridiculous to anybody. It was incompetent, and it was unacceptable for anybody to let this debt go the way it is at $9 trillion. Now it sits at $19 trillion. So the notion that he has saved anything is ludicrous. Look up the speech where he said anyone that had a $9 trillion debt when he took over was irreconcilable, irrelevant, and irresponsible. Look up his speech. I remember it.
All right. Thanks, Steve. We are out of time. Didn't we operate without a budget for a long time? I think we did.
Oh, we frequently do, simply because the federal government doesn't have a rule in place that says they have to balance the budget.
Yep. All right, that'll do it. We're out of time for today. Democrats back at it tonight. Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org. Have a good one.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Take a few days off and look what happens. The DNC was hacked and the emails show a disturbing, manipulative, dishonest side of the Democrat political machine. The director of national intelligence said a few months ago that he believed both campaigns are already targeted by countries like China and Russia. This was certainly a public view of those countries' efforts. Credible private sector cybersecurity companies believe that the Russians were likely responsible. I can guarantee the Russians are not just going after the Democrats. This hack is certainly a serious matter, and the emails are also a serious matter. Bill Clinton said in a speech in 2005, "People don't really care if politicians attack each other with untrue stories," end quote. Well, seems like the DNC agrees. They were discussing planning a false story that supports their narrative that Trump doesn't like women. The media should be outraged by Russian behavior, but it should also be outraged about DNC behavior. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.
This office. CNN brings you all 4 nights with unparalleled access.
We believe we are stronger together.
The Democratic National Convention. Live coverage starts today at 4 Eastern on CNN.
Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With prescription-grade Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. Try Proactive Plus 100% risk-free. Plus, get 2 free gifts and free shipping. Take it from me, Proactive really works. Get prescription-grade Proactive Plus, their amazing skin-purifying mask, and a second gift of your choice. Totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you don't pay a penny. Call now, 800-281-8770. 800.
We are 670 KBOI Boise.
A Cumulus station.
It's 10 o'clock. KBOI News starts.